It is my pleasure to be able to talk about hope because it's very near and dear to my heart. But before I do that, I want to talk about cows. Is it just me, or does anyone else find it amazing that our government can track a cow born in Canada almost 3 years ago, right to the stall where she sleeps in the state of Washington and where they tracked her calves to their stalls? But we are unable to locate 11 million illegal aliens wandering around our country. Maybe we should give them all a cow. Constitution. They keep talking about drafting a constitution for Iraq. Why don't we just give them ours? It was written by a lot of really smart guys. It's worked for over 200 years, and we're not using it anymore. Yeah, I didn't write it. Ten Commandments. Some of you probably heard this one. The reason that we have... The reason that we can't have the Ten Commandments in our courthouse, you can't post "Thou shalt not steal," "Thou shalt not commit adultery," and "Thou shalt not lie" in a building full of lawyers, judges, and politicians. It creates a real hostile work environment. And the last one, don't throw rocks, please. I'm only repeating what was written. It was by a comedian, and it was best said about Martha Stewart. Boy, I feel a lot safer now that she's behind bars. O.J. Simpson and Kobe Bryant are still walking around. Osama bin Laden, too. But they take the woman in America, the only woman in America, the one woman in America who's willing to cook, clean, and work in the yard, and they throw her in jail. There is no hope, is there? I mean, no disrespect, but I thought that was pretty funny. That was compliments of Linda. She found it on the internet, and I thought it was pretty funny. It kind of really makes you wonder about what's going on in society and what's happening in the world today. So, a full life is center of hope. I will eventually get there through the process by which I plan this. This is very dear to me because full life has been a big impact on my life, and full life has had a lot of hope for me. And hopefully it'll be explained through the process of what I'm trying to speak today. But I also am the first one in a group of three or four of us that are going to get a chance to speak about this. So I hate to steal your material, Charlotte and Michael. So hopefully there's enough left for everybody, but I'm sure there is. What is hope? What does the Bible say about hope? Hope is the time-tested action of knowing something is going to be different, to change. Personal involvement must accompany hope in order for our dreams to be given life and become reality. Hope is defined as trust, confidence, promises, faith, and my personal favorite, expectancy. John kind of alluded to that earlier. Expectancy. What is hope? Hope is expectancy. And that takes me back to how it is a personal involvement. Over the years, many have hoped in what they could not see. They've had faith, but they knew it existed. Hebrews 11:1 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I thought, well, is that going to work? Hope, faith. Yeah, hope is faith. Faith is hope, you know. But I started looking at the word substance because it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And when you think of the word substance, you think of something that is tangible, something that is accessible and real. You know, you can take several different substances and create them and put them together in a lab and come up with something else. That's how they accidentally found Kevlar. This lady was in the process of putting all these liquids together, took it to the lab and had them spin it on this machine. And they spin it as they dry it, and it became Kevlar. With a bunch of substances that came together, but it created something for protection for officers, for the military, for motorcycle riders, Kevlar pants they have, for all sorts of things, for guys who can be protected, for men and women of the military and everything else. So substance, something that is tangible, something that is real. We are expecting and anticipating it. It's something we want. When you think about hope, you think about, oh man, I hope I get that house, or I hope I get that bicycle. I mean, when I was a kid, man, I wanted this bicycle. It was a really cool bicycle when I was a kid. I had the long banana seat, had the shifter in the middle, and the big ape hanger handlebar, man. I was having, man, but the dryer went out at the house. So my dad said, hey, going to have to wait this year on your bike. Going to have to buy a dryer. I said, well, I understand. Got to have clean clothes, dry clothes. But I wanted this bike, man. I hoped. So Christmas morning, my dad says, you know, I couldn't get you the bike, but we'll take you out in the garage. We'll let you roll around inside the dryer for a while. Stupid me, okay. Go outside, and what was there? That bike was there. You know? And that had a lot to do with my dad loving me and my dad knowing and something that I hoped for. And through the process of not so much of my work and my actions, but that had something to do with it. But through the process of my dad caring for me, seeing that I was, I don't want to say worthy of it, but seeing that I was entitled to it to some extent. Because of by the process that I had done what I was supposed to do and the things that I had done above and beyond and extra. Abraham knew about hope, because it says in Romans 4:18, Paul's talking about Abraham and he's explaining this process by which hope exists and faith is there. And it says, who against all hope? Against all probability, everything Abraham knew, see, you know, smelled, touched, through the whole existence of everything, who through all probability but believed in the promise of God. He believed in a promise of God. Everybody else around, what you see, you know, it's never going to work. It's never going to happen. It's never going to come together. But Abraham believed. He had hope because he knew the promises of God. Hope is a good thing. God has promised to us. Now, it's a good thing. Job 7:15, and where is my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? In other words, what he's saying is where is my hope? The happiness you would expect me to have. Where is my happiness you would expect me to have? It is found in what God was doing through Job. It was found in the process by which Job walked, by Job sat and prayed, oh God, you know, I don't want to live if it's going to cause me to speak bad against you. I don't want to do this if it's going to cause me to reject who you are, through the process of his trials, his tribulations. Who sees your hope? Where is your hope? What is your active involvement? That's a hard question. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 about hope. It is the anchor of the soul, staying it amidst the storms of life. Romans 8:24. Hope finds its expression in endurance under trial. To the process that we go through our lives, and that's why I say this is near and dear to me, to the process of my life, even the last 6 years, 5 years, even the last 2 years. You know, I don't have a big explanation for why. I don't have a big explanation for how come. All I know is that my hope was not in anything but the process by which God took me through. Understand, if there was something on the other side that I wanted, that I knew was available to me, and it wasn't gonna, nothing was going to hold me back. And understanding and knowing that if death came in my situation, it was a far, far better place that I went, because there was hope in that. There was hope in a realization of knowing that I walk through life hoping and praying to get to that which is promised me. That is my hope. Understanding that I'm still here. I still have hope that I am going to crest that mountain. I am going to be on the other side of that. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope. That's the King James Version. New Living Translation is now the God who gives you hope or fills you with hope. So God is the author of hope. God Himself is not hope, but He is the author of hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God gives us this hope, processes this hope, allows us to hope in order to hope for Him. It's kind of a rotation, kind of the big wheel at the stream, you know, that rolls around and around and around to push the grinding stone inside the mill. Cause and effect. God gives us this hope in order that we might hope and abound in that. But through the process of hope, we have the joy and the peace and understanding and knowing that that's what hope is. It's a fulfillment of what God gives us. When are you at your happiest? Me? When I am helping someone else. And I don't say that pridefully. I say that with all humility. I am the happiest when I am helping someone else. And John will allude to that, I think, to some extent. Because it's hard for me to receive help back. Who was I talking to? I think I was talking to... Was it Scott? Was it you the other day I was talking to? how I like to process, there you are, how I like to do things for other people, but when other people try to do it for me, it's kind of like, because I'm staying with Scott and Marianne right now, out of the gracious of their hearts to house sit for them and to see how much energy a dog can really have. My hope is that dog will take his medication. But we were talking, and Scott and Marianne opened their home to us, to me, and allowed me to stay there. And I get to stay there for an extended period of time because some other situations or circumstances. I feel as though when I was there watching her home, it was okay. But now they're back, I feel like I'm invading them a little bit because of just who I am. And I want to give them their time and their space and their home because that's their home. And I'm grateful for staying there, but it's hard for me. But when they weren't there, it was pleasurable for me because I was watching their home form because they asked me to, and it's something that needed to be done. And I felt good about doing that. It made me feel good that I was helping someone else. You know, their hope was that the house was going to stay the same, the mail was going to get picked up, the beer bottles and the cigarette butts would all be picked up when they got home. Oh, by the way, you left your Boda bag at the... Yeah. 1 Corinthians 3:13 breaks it down to hope waits on future happiness and waits on that. Hope waits on future happiness. I don't think people are going to... I hope I shoot myself in the foot tomorrow. You know? I hope I crash my car because I want the insurance money. Oh, sorry, I wasn't supposed to say that one. I'm sorry. You know, as I was reading and studying on this, and there was a phrase about, or a statement, a commentary about one of the verses about hope being, could be evil as well as good. And I couldn't quite grasp it. I wasn't going to throw this in here, but myself cannot picture hope in an evil context coming from, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense to me because he's the God of hope. He's the God of goodness. He's the God of joy. He's the God of peace. Now, there are people that take, twist, turn, mold, make to apply it to whatever they want to do, in essence, to the evil of the people, evil of the nation, evil of society. But to me, and maybe it's just my little peanut brain that thinks that hope can only be used for good because that's the way God promised it. Because he's the God of hope. He's the God of goodness. There's a story in the last chapter of the book by Jack Hayford called The Visitor. And he meets with a friend of his who is just beside himself about some situations in his life. And he decides he's going to pack up, move away, and go somewhere else because of the situation. And he does this. And then I think that Pastor Hayford doesn't hear from him for a while. And then he gets a phone call from the guy and he wants to meet with him again. So Pastor Jack decides, okay, this is good because he's a really good friend. He's got a real heart for this guy, and as he does all people. And he meets with him, and in the process of this guy explaining the circumstances to Pastor Jack, Pastor Jack is seeing this vision. You know what story I'm talking about. He sees this vision as this guy speaks. And this guy's talking about just the futility of life and just the hassles and the pain and the heartache, and nothing's ever going to be changed and nothing's ever going to be different, and his life is destroyed and he just doesn't know what to do. He's beside himself. And as he's done talking, Pastor Jack starts to speak. And he had this vision of this guy in this tunnel filled full of dirt and mud and just, it was just trying to claw his way out. But there was only like 2 feet left. There was only like 2 feet left. On the other side of that dirt was an opening which led into the fullness, into newness, into something big and bright. And the guy was talking about how life is never going to be the same and he had no hope. And Pastor Jack was saying to him, hey, this is the vision I had. The process by which this all started, you have crawled through this tunnel, digging your way out. And that guy didn't even realize it. Because he had made changes in his life. And God had molded it and made it. And this is kind of the concept from the story that I was getting. That what he had done from the time of the situation to the time he was meeting with Pastor Jack was a process by which he was crawling and digging his way back through to something that God had for him. Back through that dark tunnel, into that light, into that escape. God has expectations for His people. John kind of talked about the situation in the hurricane devastated areas. And him and I talked a little bit about this yesterday. And hear my heart when I say what I'm going to say, because I think it's important, because it's something that John kind of was speaking about. Just maybe the trial, the test is ours to go through. You know? How we respond to those that need help. Not only the scale of a natural catastrophe, a natural disaster. And this hit me hard when I was writing this, because this came up on the computer, but within our own church. This is where full life, I think, comes to be the center of hope. Who are we and what are we about as Full Life Christian Center, or Full Life, the Center of Hope? I started to think about my role of Full Life for the last 8.5 years, almost 9 years, and I had to go back and get a copy of the mission statement and read through it again. So I went and got a copy of the mission statement, and they're available online. And I sat with John, and we kind of just talked about this briefly, figured out what was going on, because it was important to what I was going to speak about today. You know, Full Life has four or five pages, but I want to highlight just a few real quick things that I think is what Full Life is really, really, really key with. Do I need to keep going, or my time's okay? Okay. Full Life exists. We exist as people, as a church, because God deems us so. Okay? But we here at Full Life exist to reclaim the lost, bruised, broken, and bored to the cause of Jesus Christ, that they might be restored to the fullness God intends, to be released to become reproducers of the kingdom of God. I wrote in here, look around. We are this. We have all been broken. We have all been bruised. We have all been kicked around. But look where we're at. We're here at a place where we care for one another, where God cares for us, where God's hope for us at Full Life is to maintain this vision, this focus, this existence to speak into the lives of others. We all have a calling on our lives, but together we have a unique calling to reach the cynical, the unchurched, and the wounded with the good news of healing, life-transforming power of God's amazing grace. If it wasn't for Full Life, me especially, I'm sure maybe several of you could say that unique calling has an impact in my life. And if it wasn't for that unique calling, I would probably be waking up in the beer cans and the cigarette butts. There are two words that define Full Life. On the mission statement, they asked, what are the doctrines of Full Life? And the answer is love and grace. God loves us. God cares about us. God loves each and every one of us that are here. And in turn, our hope is found in Him, but our hope is also for what God is finding in you guys as a whole, as the church, as individuals. Community. We are a healing community that values relationship above all other agendas. I would say if you look around, you could probably say just about everybody knows everybody else's name here. And everybody else pretty much knows children by name, mates by name, whatever. Several of us have been here for a long time from the get-go. Some of us have only been here a couple of years, maybe some of us a couple of months. Some of us come and go because of work-related issues and some of the stuff like that. But you could probably name 90% of the people off the top of your head if you were standing up here looking around. We're a community. But this community is not just here. Many have come and gone. For what reasons? I don't know. But we've affected the community around us through the community within us. Whatever God has done for the individual will be lived out by the individual in the extent, in the context of the community. So whatever God is doing for you here will be done out there as well. You have an impact. You have cause and effect. The church is a community of real people who have been changed by the grace of God. It is people who realize they can make a difference in the lives of other people searching for hope, faith, and love. That's what Full Life is about. That's what the Center of Hope, Full Life for Center of Hope, is understanding that we affect other people's lives in a way that nobody else does. If you sat down and made a list of where people were and where people are, half of us 10 years ago wouldn't think we'd be sitting here doing this right now. I didn't think I'd be standing up here speaking 10 years ago. 5 years ago. I don't think John 20 years ago would think he'd be doing what he's doing. And not to change the subject, but don't he look great, man? He's doing a great job. He's looking good. He's lost all that. He's feeling healthy. I found it. So. Sanctuary, an inviting sanctuary that provides a refuge of fellowship, rest, and renewal, where the weak, the marginalized, the misfits, the prodigals, and the bored are embraced. You know? There we go. I think of Bill Murray in Stripes, you know? When he's standing around with all the guys and their guns and they're trying to do the routine, and he tells them, you know, we're the dog. I mean, we're the No, he's a combination of a bunch of different things that come together. The mutts, thank you. They're the mutts. They were an accumulation of different peoples from different places brought together by the course of however they were brought together. But they were the mutts. They were the ones that people didn't think were going to make it, didn't think they were going to last, that they were just going to fall and bomb out and nothing was there. And I don't mean that in a bad way. You guys aren't a bunch of mutts or dogs. But I'm saying we are what society doesn't accept. But in that, we are society. So we are our own community. We provide a sanctuary for that. Cause and compassion. We make friends with those who have not experienced God's grace and love. Half you guys wouldn't be my friend 10 years ago. But through God's grace and love, you are. My friends, my acquaintance, people I trust, people I call, people I care about. People that respond. People that don't have their own agenda. They have their life that they have to live because of what they have to do. But they don't have their own agenda. We understand our life. We understand our love for one other is a witness to the world of the love of Christ. Example breeds example. Christ had his example. And through that, we become an example. And through that, we become an example. We become an example. We become an example. So on. It is the progression of the whole thing. We understand that the love of Christ is seen in how we live our lives. So how we live is how we express who Christ is. Where our hopes lie, where our dreams lie, where the fulfillment of what we want out of life is going to come full circle. I said earlier that God has expectations, God has hopes. In the Garden of Eden, Jesus was praying. And I think if you look at it, you could probably find it. He was hoping he didn't have to go to the cross. He asked God 3 times if there's any other way. If there's any other way. You know? And God said, no, there's no other way. But his hope was going a different direction. But no. How many times we hope we get to go a different direction, but it's no. You know, hope kind of parallels prayer in the aspect of there's 3 basic definitions or answers to prayer. Yes, no, and wait. And to me, hope kind of runs that same parallel line. You know, my hope is, God, that this happens. Yes, it's going to happen. Or no, it's not going to happen. Or wait, you know, in my timing. I think hope comes in that form too. God will meet the needs of his people, but he won't meet the greeds. And your hope is out of need, or your need is out of hope, not out of greed. You know, I hope I get that new car. Well, yeah, you're going to get that new car if you get out and get a job and go buy it. You know, I hope I win the lottery. Buy the ticket. You know? So, but in the same thing, my hope is for my son and my daughter and their families and their my grandchildren to know the fullness of Christ. That's where I take an active role in my prayer for them, my talking to them, my sitting and working with them, my listening on the phone, you know, my providing needs, whether it be monetary or physical, or they need time away watching the kids for them or whatever. Take an active role in involvement for the hopes and dreams that I have for them to be fulfilled. As I said earlier, look around. We are this. We have lived this. We are doing this. Full Life Christian Center's mission statement is who we are. It's not just a bunch of words on paper. I think when John and Sue and the staff put this together, they actually looked at the context of the church and understood it to be the people. Because we've all come from a different form of life. John constantly talked about his 7 stepfathers and the life he had. You know, several of us have gone through divorces, separation, whatever it might be. Some of us have medical deals, children, lost children that have gone away and come back to prodigals. The whole process by which the Full Life Christian Statement is put up, it is a center of hope. Because we have been there, we have done that, and we have the t-shirts and the keychains. Our hope is to be grounded in God's promises and love. This is not to say that we of Full Life cannot have hope for you. Our hope is to be in God's promises. But in that, hope from me to each and every individual is that God's promise is to be fulfilled, that your hope is found in God's promise. That's my hope for everyone here. And I know it's the hope of everyone here back. What does hope look like when it's given? But what does hope look like when it's received? 1 Corinthians 13:13. There are three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And that's what John was talking about. It's love. Full Life is a place of love, a place of hope. You know, our faith rests in knowing that God is in control. Our hope is that we will crest that mountain. And love is waiting for us when we get there. But it's also here before we go there. Love goes with us wherever we go. It doesn't matter whether it's through our faith or through our hope, but love is always going to be constant. And that's what we need to understand. At times we lose hope. It seems as though we lose hope. It seems as though you could look on a person's expression on their face and go, that's just a hopeless look. But it's not. There's an expectancy. There's a wanting. There's a knowing that it's there that's unavailable. So my hope is that you hear my heart on this and you understand that if it wasn't for Full Life, I could not stand here and say this. It's a passion for me now to be able to speak and to be able to talk and to be able to express what I feel, because I think it's kind of what God's calling me to do. And if it wasn't for Full Life, I couldn't have that opportunity to do that. So I thank you for the hope that you have for me, for the trust that you put in me. And I want to be able to return that hope and that trust back to you guys, that your fullness, God's fullness, will be met in your lives. Full Life will always be here in one way, shape, or form. It matters not where we go. Whether this church completely breaks up and falls apart, and I know it won't, and people choose to go somewhere else, but Full Life will go, and Full Life will have an impact on that community wherever it might go. But understand that God's love and God's hope, His expectancy for you, will be fulfilled in your lives.